Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and it is Monday and time for our Images of the Past series. And this time, this week, we're looking at the Ellison Shaft Fire at Homestake. Joining me to discuss it is Jessica Michuk, who is an archivist with the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center and the Deadwood History Center. Jessica, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So let's start with a story about this fire, the Ellison Shaft Fire at Homestake.
Well, the fire, it occurred in the Ellison Shaft on July 10th of 1930, and it ignited around 8 p.m. in the air compressor room, and it was pretty devastating. It destroyed most of the buildings on the surface, the entire shaft building, and then some smaller buildings around it. There were some dynamite caps that were in one of the buildings nearby, and it ignited those and caused some spot fires around there. So, and then also two men lost their lives in the fire as well.
So when you talk about the shaft, I mean, you're talking about an elevator shaft, so to speak, or a cage, right, where the cage drops. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the shaft... And then it has a head frame, so that's the large building that's on the outside. And then the shaft mm-hmm. goes down into the mine, and that's how men and equipment and ore came out. So,
and it's on a and it's the shaft, the elevator, so to speak, the cage mm-hmm. is lowered on a pulley system.
Yeah,
like
a thicker cable, mm-hmm. and then that cable is oiled, and it's actually the oil that caught fire. On that day, the hoist, yeah.
And the hoist. And the shaft itself is built, it's wood, right? It's wood blocks of like railroad ties kind of thing, only thicker, that is stacked upon one upon each other for thousands of feet.
Yeah, for thousands of feet down into the ground. Yeah. And then this one was actually over 2,000 feet. So
two men were in the cage, right, when mm-hmm. this fire started, and they couldn't raise them to get them out.
Yeah, the cage the heat from the fire actually caused the air compressor brakes to stop working, so they were stopped just about below 2,000 feet, and then the fire, you know, it was just so hot that it burned through the cable, and the cable actually crashed down on them, and the weight of the cable caused the stopping mechanisms to fall through, and they crashed then another 300 feet down to the bottom of the shaft, and they were just killed instantly. So that was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Brian Gevick joins us now. He is the producer of the Images of the Past series. Hi, Brian. Thanks for being here.
Oh, hi, Kara.
The images that are posted on our website are just are stunning images, and I know that you received them from the Historical Society. So go ahead and talk a little bit about some of these images as well.
Right. You know, you've been talking about the cage that was used to haul people up and down the shaft along with the equipment. I know that you have been in the Homestake mine mm-hmm. elevators on numerous occasions, and if you mm-hmm. look at these wooden structures that went up and down the mine and compare them to what you would see there, even today, even a few years ago, vastly different. They don't look especially safe. There are also pictures of, before and after pictures of the Ellison Shaft area. You can see how built up that mine was, and you can see how devastating the fire was when it took down several of those structures. Another thing I find interesting about this entry in particular is that they opened that shaft again in a little bit over a month.
Mm-hmm.
They started cleaning up almost right away. It was July 10th when the fire started, and it says that they were under limited operation on August 17th. And I have to say thanks very much to Jessica Michuk for supplying this text and also these photos. They really are great pictures.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. It's a great story. We're so happy to get it out there.
Is it one that's commonly known in the area, or are people just learning about this, you know, for the first time?
I would say people, you know, directly from Lead and Deadwood probably have heard of it and know of it. A lot of them have family that worked in the mine, so I'm sure it was passed down. But I think reaching a broader audience is kind of something that maybe is a unique new story to hear. And why it's so interesting is that, you know, they, like Brian said, they started rebuilding the day after the fire. You know, they just picked up and started, you know, moving operations around, and, you know, they were under limited operation, and that just kind of shows how resilient the mine was and kind of is a testament to why the mine lasted, you know, for over 100 years in continuous operation. It's just because they just picked up and kept going and, you know, moved on.
Well, and there were other shafts that they could use at the time as well. And mm-hmm. that's how people who were underground at the time were able to get out.
Mm-hmm. It is. And that we should mention, too, I think that there were these other shafts. And there were quite a number of people in the mine at the time. And essentially, they crawled out on their own.
Yeah, they crawled up to the 1550 level. And there they were able to cross over to one of the other shafts, and then they pulled them out from that one. And a lot of them, once they reached the surface, then got over and began helping to put out the flames. So.
Right. And there, I mean, there are just some stunning images in this entry, Brian. And I just look at the glow of the fire at night and knowing, you know, the area and how it's up on a hill, and how, you know, I'm sure they saw this fire for miles.
Yeah, it's not hard to imagine it, is it? If you've been to Lead, mm-hmm. if you've been there a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brian, just a quick sneak peek of what's coming on Images of the Past next week.
Next week, we are going to talk about Black Hills Transportation. We are going to pay a visit to the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer to look at a stagecoach that was one of the original Sydney to Deadwood coaches. It's about 140 years old. We have pictures of coaches on the line between Sydney and Nebraska and the Black Hills, and we have pictures of this coach as it looks today. It's at the museum in Custer. We've got shots of it, and this is a pretty neat artifact. It's in a little kind of tough shape. I mean, it sat at the bottom of Sylvan Lake for quite a while. But just to look at this thing and compare it with the old photos, it's pretty neat to see.
Okay, well, Brian and Jesse, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.